Okay, good morning. It's the day after the Open Science Barcamp, and we're actually at the Open Science Conference. And next to me is the guy that you all know, Konrad. Good morning.
Hello, sirs and ladies.
You had a session yesterday, as usual, your own session. Last year it was about Sci-Hub. This year it was about overlay journals. And yeah, just share with us what how the session was. And
yeah, I did not prepare very much. This was, again, one of these spontaneous things that came up. It's just, well, we all see the problem that the publishing industry is far too strong and far too consuming much of our resources. Basically, it's a $10 billion industry, and well, everybody's looking for solutions. And well, classical open access might be one thing, but still, even there, a lot of resources has to go into that, and also that is very pricey. And one elegant way of at least for a transition would be these so-called overlay journals. And in an overlay journal, you basically harvest the infrastructure that is there, namely the preprint server, so things where you can upload your manuscript before submitting it to a real journal. And these preprint servers like Archive or the Biologist BioArchive and many other available preprint servers could be kind of the data backbone for something which is called overlay journals. And in these overlay journals, you simply add a very thin layer of technology that is actually taking care of the peer review process. So everything else is stored basically in the preprint server, and then you have only a web interface which takes place of managing the editor, or that the editor can manage the peer reviewers and the reports sent by them. So it's technology wise, it's rather simple thing. There are different solutions regarding this, and we basically had a short discussion how this can be implemented. There are commercial solutions like Scholastica. There are some open solutions like the Open Journal, which is basically a Ruby on Rails application, and so on. I mean, more importantly, it's kind of to keep the cultural aspect in mind, which is basically if I start now a journal like this in my basement in my hobby, nobody will go there. And in the end, you have to try to convince your community, or you have to run it via a community, basically. So these kind of endeavors have to start from a bunch of people that are well known in the community, and you need support. So this is basically one of the bottom lines there, that you really have to harvest the group of people there. And the question also arises, is it really necessary? So do we really need overlay journals, or should we really take a full stack approach? And there are solutions for this as well, where you basically have the full basically technology stack available, which also takes care of the storing. Well, in this case, with the overlay journal, you kind of outsource part of your costs to the preprint servers or providers of that, while if you have a full stack approach, well, you take care of all that. And as I said, I personally see this as a potential transition phase, or a solution for a transition phase, and would like to see this popping up in more environments. Ideally, and we also had, this is more a discussion I had aside with other people, ideally you should actually migrate journals that exist to their not start new ones. So Marie Farsch, I had an intensive discussion with her yesterday. She's really finding in this direction that you should not start new journals from scratch, but that you basically take stuff that is there and move it, basically. And well, in the end, you know, we had this discussion very often. In the end, you would like to have actually one single database. I would not actually call it journal anymore. It's more a kind of a database where all these manuscripts are handled, and communities arrange around categories or tags, however you would call it, and break down this barrier between journals, and having this redundant reviewing process of, you know, you submit a journal to one journal, it's rejected, you send it again to another journal, and in the end the same peer reviews get the same thing, right, maybe the same reports again. So this is really, really not necessary. If we would have one single solution for all this, this would be ideal. But well, I can also understand that people think this might be too large, too utopian, maybe too monolithic, and so maybe these small things might be a valid solution. Yeah. Yeah, I guess this is roughly regarding this. So I guess it's these overlay journals are kind of an intermediate solution for reducing the cost dramatically. It's not clear how to run this precisely. So there's no, let's say, guideline how to start something like this from scratch. But it's very important that you take the community into account and not just run this from your basement, but really do your homework before and talk to the community.
I mean, I've two ideas come to my mind is when you're using or when the journal is merely an overlay of an existing technical structure such as a repository, you're actually giving away the content in air quotes to the repository. So you need to make sure that the repository will always be there and will always provide the content. Is there some kind of handling, proper handling around this?
That's a very good point that we did not discuss so far. You're absolutely right. They rely on a third party to be there all the time. I mean, I guess many people rely, for example, on archive to be there, and the funding is actually not trivial of the whole thing. Ideally, why I see this only a transition phase. Ideally, there is a governmental agenda that clearly says, okay, we have this kind of infrastructure for years. But as you're completely right, if we rely on preprint servers right now, there might be also the issue that they break away and are not funded anymore, and then the system of that journal breaks as well. On the other hand, as it's just a thin layer, you might migrate into another one. Yeah. Sure, it's outsourcing this cost to another party, and it's not clear that this is not disrupting their model completely.
The second idea that pops up in my mind is once you don't need, for example, a peer review structure, but you still have the journal software as the overlay on top of a repository, you might be able to quickly develop new topical journals. For example, if you have a very, very special interest topic, and usually there is a journal around, but maybe you want to just use this as a collection of recommended reading material in courses in university or whatever. So this might be a very interesting fact for people to establish these as one form of making content available or easily accessible to students, to interested laymen, whatever it is. So that might be interesting too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just arranging stuff then together is rather easy. I mean, you see this also with Science Open, which was also suggested as kind of a way of doing this overlay journals as well, right? You can just take a preprint server and have then these collections. You can use this also for proceedings of a conference, computer science, for example, this is rather common. Yeah, you could arrange these kind of issues or items around a certain event or a certain topic.
It's definitely an interesting technique or technology or way of approaching this issue, and we're actually seeing smaller journals arise based on this kind of approach. So it will be interesting to see what happens in the next year.
Yeah, that's an interesting time regarding this, and I think we will, as you said, there are a lot of experiments taking place regarding this, and we'll see how they fly or if there anything else pops up that maybe is a central solution. But we need to play around with this, and maybe even take into account or use this be aware that some of the stuff might be just there for some years if they are properly stored. This wouldn't be an issue if this is basically a dead journal at some point. If people can still access that, I don't see a problem with this. I think it's much worse sticking to the system just because we are afraid of that something breaks in the future. I mean, the system is so broken right now, so we need to try to find newer solutions that are better than what we have right now.
Thanks.
Sure, thank you.